One of the Rosh Chabura in the Mir is called the Moreshes Moshe. His name is Rav Moshe Steinholz. Are you familiar with the Sefer? I mean, it's on many different Masechtas. I have the one on Chul.
And that's very big.
And his introduction to Basa B'Cholov, he has an essay which is called Begeder Bishul Basa B'Cholov. So I thought that it would be appropriate to learn a little bit of that introduction. One of the great things about this Sefer is that he collects and anthologizes a lot of Akronim that it's hard for us to get access to. And on the page that you have, it should say Reish Samach Aleph on it, if you like a free handout. On the right side, in a paragraph that starts Akronim, he quotes the Plesi. Okay, we all have access to the Plesi, that's not such a challenge. But you'll take a look at some of the Marmakomos here, it's very impressive, the list of Akronim. And in the name of the Plesi, he tries to prove that Lahalacha, we accept the Shita of the Shilte Giborim, which we'll see later on, that Yesh Bishalach HaBishal Bebasa B'Cholov. And the proof that the Plesi is Mechadish, a big proof, is from the Isra HaLoh. He says that in the case of halal, what do you put on the table? Do you put raw food on the table? Raw meat? Raw chicken? Mm. Do you put something that's not mavushal? The obvious assumption here, he says, is that you've got something on the table that's mavushal. Mm. And yet, we're afraid, shevi'ala be'ilfis be'klirisham, etc. It means that we're afraid that it'll do a ma'aseh bishul on something that's already mavushal. And he wants to use this as a proof that we accept the shita that yesh bishlach habishul bebasa b'chol. It seems to me, just a cheshbon here, that this is not necessarily a clear-cut proof that yesh bishlach habishul. But in order to explain why, let's take a look at a paragraph on the right column that starts with the letter beis. And he quotes the Maram Bennett, who was one of the Gedolim in a place called Nicholsburg, if you ever heard of it. He wrote many, many different Sfarim. And one of them is called the Parshas Mordechai. And he writes that in a case where one of the two, either the Basar or the Cholov, one of the two was cooked, the other was not cooked. In other words, in this case, he's being mechadesh through his bishul, the second bishul, something on either the basar or the cholov. Then he writes, but let's say you have meat that was already cooked, you have milk that's already cooked, ein iser lachzor ulavashlo. There's no Isa to be Mavashal them a second time. Now, assuming the Plesi was here in front of us, and if we could orchestrate a discussion, a dialogue between the Plesi, an imaginary dialogue between the Plesi and the Parshas Mordechai, I think the Plesi would say to the Mordechai, I'm sorry, to the Parshas Mordechai, that if it's really true that if both the basar was cooked and the cholov was cooked, everything is ready to go, and there's no iser bishul at all afterwards, then why is there an iser halah here? Let's assume anything you put on the shulchan was already cooked. Perhaps the Parshas Mordechai would say, well, the cholov wasn't cooked. You know, it's not like you made a coffee and the milk was already cooked. However, in the paragraph that starts ulam, he throws out a whole nother perspective. And that would certainly address the question of halah that's raised here by the Plesi. Just give me one more minute. I just want to finish one paragraph so I know what I'm about to say. And if you take a look, this is a very impressive anthology of Achronim. It's almost like a who's list in Achronim. And from all of them, he proves that even if the basar was already cooked, even if the cholov was already cooked, and you would therefore assume that there's no isa to cook them again, if you hold the ein bishalach habishul, he says, nevertheless, in this case, again, according to all these akronim, Kevan she bishel as habasar v'chol benifrad, each one was cooked separately, but v'chazav v'bishlam yachad, b'kai gavna, yesh bishel achar bishlam. Now this throws a whole new light on the gzeir of halah. If the Gemara's final conclusion that halah, daf kuf dalin, is shemiyala v'ulfis v'kli rishon, then what we're talking about is a yesh bishel achar bishlam that everyone might agree to, at least according to this whole cadre of achronim, because even though what you put on the shulchan, according to the place, has already been cooked, but nevertheless, it's never been cooked together as basar b'chol. So just to summarize, and then I'll take questions. I just wanted to get a sum of what I got here from this Mareshes Moshe, is that you may have various shitas about ein bishel achar bishel. You could talk about a case where the basar was cooked, the chalav was cooked, and that's ein bishel achar bishel. But you might assume, according to this whole sheet of the achronim, that even if the basar was cooked and even if the chalav was cooked, you still might violate bishel basar b'chalav when you cook them together. And that's a big chiddush. But what we're saying is that although ein bishel achar bishel, which would logically mean that since you've already cooked the meat, you've already cooked the chalav, what did you add to your bishel? The answer is that here you added something to your bishel because there's a brand new taste over here. You've never actually created something that has a taste of both basar and chalav together, and for that there might be bishel achar bishel. So even though in general I might have said that if you already cooked basar and chalav together, you would not be chayv for a second bishel of basar and chalav, but in a case where you cooked both the basar and the chalav separately, we might apply the principle of yesh bishel achar bishel, because now what you have is something biyachad. You have a chidush tam, he calls it, if you take a look at the end of that paragraph. Yonatan, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, for Maran Bennett, well, if you have, let's say, what would you say to Mavasha basar b'chalav and then Mechazer Mavasha? I'm just telling
you,
what's...
Well, you already have basar b'chalav.
Well, yes.
Yeah, if you already have basar b'chalav cooked, I think in that case...
That's also my focus on point.
Right, so we're talking about the nail.
Again, if you take a look at the language he quotes here from the Parshas Mordechai, he says, if one of the two haven't been cooked, then you would apply the principle of yesh bishel, meaning you would violate the isur bishel. Now, if both of them were cooked, he's of the opinion.
Well, that's done separately.
Correct. And even though it was cooked separately, we would apply the principle of ein bishel achar bishel.
Yeah, but if they were cooked together mitchila and you made a new davar shel eser basar b'chalav,
correct. So logically, I think you're right, and you're in good company here, because take a look at the list of achronim that accepted what you said, that even though you cooked each one separately, but you never cooked them together, therefore yesh bishel achar bishel in that case. But the Parshas Mordechai l'shita, so he wants to see that the bishel should be machshir the achila, and if in a case where you've already cooked the meat and you've already cooked the milk even separately, then we can't call it bishel because it's not machshir anything.
No. What I'm saying, I thought what the Rav Acharnim is saying is that no, if you have one davar that's mavashal, and not two dvarim that the nifrim, you already had a bishel and you mavashal them together, you've created a goof of basar b'chalav, so that's why you're going to be over. And Maran Bennett is saying no, that's not true. Once you have both of them bishul separately, so you're already done a bishul two separate minims, so by being mavashal together, you don't create an isur basar b'chalav. I'm saying another thing that neither of them seem to have addressed, which is, what if in the Maran Bennett, you've created already an isur basar b'chalav the proper way, according to him, which is that you have basar, you have chalav, cook them together, it's mamish basar b'chalav.
Yeah.
There, if you're chozer in a special, he doesn't really address whether you'd be over basar b'chalav, neither did the shara chomer and nefesh chayer.
Well, I thought there was a kamer chomer here. No, it lechora logically, and that's what I think the Mareshes Moshe is pointing out, that if the Parshas Mordechai is operating with the assumption you have to be machshir something that's eino royal achila, in other words, it needs bishul. But in the case where you were vashel already on the first round, both the basar and the chalav, the second bishul is not going to be machshir anything l'achila. So it makes no difference whether or not you are being mavashal something new and creating a new tam. The Parshas Mordechai is claiming, did you do anything to be machshir something l'achila? Where is the bishul? And he can't identify the bishul. The Achronim want to say, I can identify the bishul not when I take each one separately, basar chalav, but when I put them together and I create a new tam called basar chalav. That's what I identify as a bishul. Okay, then let's put the Moreshes Mordechai on the side, and let's, if you don't mind, open up Rabbi Kivega at the very beginning of Simon Pei Zion, and he quotes the Sharidura, he quotes Dagos Isaveheter. This is the last piece in Hagos, Rabbi Kivega. If you have the same Shulchan Aruch that I have, you'll find it on page Vav. And he writes that Chaticha Shenichbisha Becholov. So what you did is Kavush.
Which is Kavush, sorry?
It's the last. It's the first paragraph from Rabbi Kivega, but I'm not going through the entire Rabbi Kivega. I'm looking at the last four lines in Rabbi Kivega. In Hagos Rabbi Kivega, that's on page Vav. Again, only if you have. I think we all have this pretty much the same Shulchan Aruch. I think. So he quotes the Isa Veheter, and Rabbi Kivega is medayek something from the Isa Veheter. The Isa Veheter writes that in a case of kavush, now you cook something. That means this basa was kavush and chol, and now you go ahead and cook it, turning on the fire. In such a case, it's asur. Why? Because kavush kimavushal is only derabbanan, and now you're being mechadish abishal. Comes along Rabbi Kivega, and he says the implication clearly, according to the Sharidura, is going to be the following: that if the first bishal would have been daoraisa, not kavush, then the second bishul would be mutter. Now let's just see that according to Rabbi Kivega in the Sharidura, it means ein bishul achar bishul, and compare that to the Ramah, and that's on page Chaf in mine, meaning the Ramah in this very long Haggad in Siv Vav, and smack in the middle of page Chaf, he writes Yesh Omrim di osu lachtos ha'esh hachas kederish al goya lefi shem vashlim Bahem, Pamim, Chalav, Pamim, Basar, and Chitu is considered Bishul. And if you take a look in the Gilyan and the Marashah, on the left side, he says, Yesh Raya Lechora Mikan, from this Yesh Omrim, which is codified here by the Ramah, De Basar Vecholav, Shekvarnis Vashal Yachad, Osul Vashlo Shemis. So it really seems that we clearly have two Shitos here. Again, the Moreshes Moshe goes into more complicated nuances about, you know, what happens if each one was cooked separately, the bus and the cholov, now he cooks them together. But just in terms of fundamental principles here, it would seem that Rabbi Kivega, on the one hand, quoting Visa Veheter, comes to the conclusion that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, it's only Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal if the first Bishal was only what? Durabbanan, it was Kavush. The Ramah, the way the Marashah at least interprets the Ramah in the name of the Yesh Omer, comes to the conclusion that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal. So what is the Machlokas here all about? That's my topic for today. We seem to have a clear Machlokas with various nuances, but whether Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal or Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, what's it all about? So what I would ask you to do, I don't know if you have a Gemara Chulin with you, if you happen to have one, if not, you'll listen to Torah Shebaal Peh. And if you don't mind just keeping it open so I can access it again any way we can find it. Let's open the sugya on Daf Kuf Chaf, sorry, Kuf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara on Kuf Ches Amud Beis quotes a machlokas between Rav and Levi. Now what's the case in the machlokas between Rav and Levi? So on Kuf Ches Amud Beis, we'll start with the word Gufa, and that's approximately 10 lines, maybe a little bit more. The first word in the line is Gufa. You have it? For those who have a Gemara. And if you don't have a Gemara, it's pretty clear. What's the case? He took a Chatzi Zayas of Basar, and a Chatzi Zayas of Cholov, and Bishlam Yachad Zem Zem. So he didn't start with the shear of a kezayis of basar or of cholov, but the sacha kol, the sum total, which is called tziruf, mitztarfin, is a kezayis. Amar Rav says in this case, if he would eat this mixture that he cooked together, which is sacha kol, one kezayis, half of which is basar, half of which is cholov, lokal achiloso, he gets malchus on his achilo. And the Gemara is medayik from that, that you don't have to eat a kezayis of basar or a kezayis of cholov, according to Rav, in order to get malchus. All you have to eat is through tziruf, one kezayis, and that's what he ate. However, says Rav, Eino lokal bishua. The bishul itself would not generate malchus in this case, because how much was even vashel of each? Only chatzi zayas. So the Gemara says, mimonafshach. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Is Rav operating with mitztarfin, or is he not operating with mitztarfin? If he's operating with mitztarfin, then we should apply mitztarfin not only to the Iser Achila, but we should apply it to the Iser Bishal as well. You know, it's just like in Achila, you took half a kazayis and you ate it with another half a kazayis, this cholam and this basar, and you're chayav. So too in Bishal, we should be mitzarif the half a kazayis with the other half a kazayis. And if on the other hand, Rav is of the opinion that ain't mitzarifin, then Achila nami lo luka. Why should he get malchus for Achila? So the Gemara now comes up with a breakthrough in order to understand Rav. The Gemara says, li olam lo mitzarifin. And therefore, when you mevashal a chatzi zayis and a chatzi zayis, you're not going to be chay for bishul. And what's the case in which Rav says that you're chay for achila, even though it's an achila of chatzi zayis and chatzi zayis? That's bibba miyore gedola. So Rashi explains that basically we have to learn the statement of Rav litzdadin. When Rav talks about bishul and he says you're not going to be chay for bishul because you started with half a zayis and half a zayis, that's on the first recham. Now we talk about a Yorah Gedolah. In the case of the Yorah Gedolah, he started with a Kezias of Basar, that's how Rashi learns this sugya, and a Kezias of Cholav, and he cooked them together. Now he eats a Kezias from these two Kezaisim. And even if that Kezias is comprised of what? Of a half a Zayis of Basar and a half a Zayis of Cholav, nevertheless, you know, I'm tempted to add the words Chaticha Atzvanasis Nebelo that we discussed last week. You have here an entity of Basar v'Cholav because he cooked together a Kezias of each. And now if he eats one Kezias, which is half of this Taroves, he's going to be high for the Achila. This is the pshat of Rashi in the sugya. If you take a look at Rabbeinu Gershom has a whole different pshat in the sugya. Because it seems that Rabbeinu Gershom is a little bit hesitant to apply the principle of Litzdadu Katani. That Rav is talking about two different cases. You know, in one case he's talking about a bishul that was a half a zayis with another half a zayis. That the bishul was one zayis with another zayis, and then the achila was a half a zayis of each. That's Rashi. But Rabbeinu Gershom says the following. He says, what does it mean b'ba miyore gedola shel basar? He says, basar v'cholav mivushal. We're talking about basar v'cholav in a yore that was already cooked. So he already cooked basar v'cholav on the first round. Then loka chatzi zayis may also basar v'chatzi zayis may also cholav v'chazar u'bishlam pam. I don't know the next word that you have. It should say acheres. Right, there's a little bit of a printing mistake here. V'chazar u'bishlam pam acheres. And Rav says abishal olaki. Why? D'kfar mevushal achil olaki. The Achal Kezayis Isur. Fascinating. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, he took a half a Zayis of each, and what he did was, he cooked it a second time. So the Yorah Gedolah here means that he already had cooked it once. Now, on the second round, we're going to apply the principle of a Bishal Olaki. He's not Chai for the second Bishal, because it was already Mavushal on the first round. On the other hand, as far as Achila is concerned, what difference it make? Whether you machayim for the first bishul or the second bishul, it's irrelevant. You have here basar v'cholav, and he ate basar v'cholav. Now Levi, in the next line of the Gemara, argues against Rav. According to Rabbeinu Gershon, it would seem that Levi holds that even though you mevashal a second time around, you're chayim for that second bishul. Meaning the machlokas now, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, between Rav and Levi is gufo what we're dealing with. Namely, whether or not there's bishul achar bishul. According to Rav, there's no bishul achar bishul. Therefore, he cannot be chayv malchus for the bishul because he already was mevashal it in the first yorah. According to Levi, on the other hand, he did a maisa bishul, and therefore he's chayv, even though he already cooked it once before.
That, like in the Gemara says, v'chim tani Levi. Sounds like that you
agree, no?
Like,
no. V'chein tani Levi b'masnisim means that Levi made his statement twice. He once made it as a discussion against Rav, and he also made it as a comment on the Mishnah. So Rav said, this is quite fascinating that the issue of Basar B'Cholov in Bishlach Avishal comes out to be a Machlokas Amorim. So what we see filtered down in the Rishonim and the Poskim, that's already, according to Rabbi Gershon, at least a spin-off of a Machlokas in the Gemara. But what is the Machlokas all about? Well, let me put the Gemara Chulin on the side over here for a minute, and I want to open up a Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos with a Magid Mishnah. And I'm very excited about this because it's very rare that you could learn an entirely different set of halachas and come to a conclusion, shed a light on Basar B'Cholov. Now, if you want to see this Rambam inside, take a look at the flip side of the handout. For those of you who have the handout, I'll just borrow this for a second. I'll show you where you want to look. In the paragraph Ubipshuto, if you, let's say you fast forward at 6 lines down, you'll see in that second paragraph, 6 lines down, that he quotes the Rambam in Perek Tes Milchus Shabbos, Sof Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes the following. Hamavashel al ha'or, or is usually the classic case of bishul, davar shahaya mevushal kol tzarko. So this is a second bishul on Shabbos of something that was already completely cooked. The Ram gives another case, o davar she'enu tzarif bishul klal. The Mefarshim say there are certain kinds of yirokos and peros that can be eaten raw. In both of these cases, the Rambam says, pot. Now, comes along the Magid Mishnah, and he emphasizes two words in this Rambam. Can anybody guess which two words he's going to emphasize here? He's going to bold. Let's read it again. Hamavashal ala'or, dover shayu mevushal kol tzarko, o dover shayu tzarech bishal klal, pot. There's a two-word phrase. And you have it?
Kol
tzarko. Excellent. Says the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam is applying the principle of Ein Bishalach HaBishal on Shabbos. And again, the whole discussion here in the Rambam is about Melechah Shabbos. But only on the condition that the first Bishal was Kol tzarko. And the diuk of the Magid Mishnah is that according to the Rambam, if the first Bishal was less than Kol tzarko, which he calls Kemaychel Ben Josai, then he would be chayav for the second bishul. And then he goes on in the first of the wide lines, and he quotes the Rashba. No, the first of the wide lines, I'm sorry, in the Magid Mishnah, you don't have it in front of you, but anyway, he writes in the name of the Rashba and other Mefarshim, Shekol shen is bashul kemaychel ben josai, shuv ein bo chiyu bishul. On a Doraisa level, you'd not be chayav for the second bishul. The Rambam says that the reason you're potter for the second bishul is because the first bishul achieved what? Called tzarko. But in a case where the first bishul was only Kemaychel ben Josai, the Rambam says he'd be chayav for bishul. Comes along the Rashba and many other Mefarshim, and they say no. Once the first bishul engendered a Kemaychel ben Josai, then we apply the principle of Ein bishul achar bishul. Okay, now what you have in front of you is a sefer that's called Harei Kedem, which is written by Rav Michal Shurkin. He didn't actually do the writing, but it's based on his notes. Okay, and then it's actually written by his son-in-law, Rav Auerbach, who's the Rav of the shul that I davened in Har Nof. And this is based on the Rav Shiurim in Masechta Shabbos. So many of you know, I think maybe all of you know, based on the lunch that we had yesterday, that I'm a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. So it's exciting to me to be able to share some Torah of Rav Soloveitchik with you, and I think this is a good taste, if we cook it properly, pardon the pun, of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. And what you have to understand here is, my contribution here is only that Rav Soloveitchik's Torah was said in the Masechet Shabbos. I'm going to try to use it to shed a light on Basar B'Cholov. So if you take a look at the page, you'll see that after quoting the Magid Mishnah, he writes the following, that why is it that according to the Rambam, even though there was a bishul on the first round, he's going to be chayav for the second bishul on Shabbos? Because the first round, the bishul only reached what? Kemichael ben Josoy. So he says that the Rambam holds that there are two conditions to be chayav in Shabbos. One condition is that you need a meleches bishul, but that alone is not sufficient. You can have bishul, but you might not be chayv on Shabbos. And why is that? So if you take a look on the left column, he writes on the fourth line that Hainu, why is he chayv for bishul on Shabbos? What is the second condition that has to be met? Mishum dehu eino mesakin klum. So in other words, in the case of bishul acha bishul, what he's missing is a tikkun. Uklal hu b'meleches Shabbos. So again, the word tikkun could be substituted for many other different words, but it really means that you have to make a substantial, fundamental change in some sort of object. And that's what Meleches Shabbos is all about. He says, Kol kai gavna, shu eino misakin klum, in the case where already by virtue of the first bishul, it was already called sarko, it was perfectly edible, is lav melechu klal. Now please notice, the Rambam is not saying that there's no bishul over here. The Rambam is saying that you're not chai for meleches bishul on Shabbos, because meleches bishul on Shabbos, it's not enough that you did a bishul, which you did even in the case of Michael ben, even in the case of Kol Tzarko. But in the case of Kol Tzarko, we're lacking the second condition in Shabbos. What's that? Tikkun. We need a meleches tikkun. There's no such thing as a chiyuv meleches Shabbos without a tikkun. Where's the tikkun? What did you accomplish by cooking something that was already cooked? Mashenken, says the Rambam, in the case where the first cooking reached only Kemaychel ben Josoy, we have here a checkoff of both conditions. Number one, you have a bishul, and the second bishul. But number two, the second bishul accomplished the tikkun, because again, I could offer you Kemaychel ben Josoy if you belong to that kat, you know, that group of ben. We don't belong to that group, right? But in the case of a guest, you know, if you were a guest in my house, you know, the last thing you'd want me to serve you is something that was cooked kibaycha ben josoy. So the Rambam says that there's a very significant tikkun here when you take the object that the food that was cooked kibaycha ben josoy and you upgrade it to the level of what of mevushal called sarko. That addition is called not only bishul, but it's also called tikkun. Again, in the case of Kol Tzarko, I can say that cooking it again is called bishul, according to the Rambam, but that's not enough. I'm lacking in a condition here of tikkun. But in the case where it was only mevushal Kemaychel ben Josoy, now not only do I have a bishul on the second round, but I also have a tikkun. So it's interesting, because it comes out according to the Shittas of Rambam, we'll get back to the Rashba Shita in just a second, that fundamentally the Rambam holds yesh bishul achav bishul, the second bishul is bishul. And even though in the first round it was mevushal, because the shir of bishul called tarkul is kemaychel ben josoy, nevertheless I have another bishul. The only problem is, says the Rambam, and that's the problem I have to address in Hilchos Shabbos, am I chayav for a meleches bishul? So the increment between a maisa bishul and called tarkul, or a shame bishul if you want to call it, and meleches bishul is going to be tikkun. And it's not enough, it's not sufficient on Shabbos to classify it as a shame bishul or a maisa bishul. I need to upgrade it to the level of a tikkun. And herein lies the difference between when the first bishul was called sarko or it was only kemaychel ben josoy. In the Rashba, if you go back to the previous paragraph, the Rashba understands that if the object, the foodstuff, was already mevushal, then you can't talk about a second bishul on something that's already mevushal. Why? Because the Rashba understands that what is the essence of bishul? When does the Torah recognize and validate a bishul as bishul? That's when you have something that's not mevushal. Once it passed the minimum standard of bishul, because it reached already kemaychel ben josoy, then the Rashba says, well, ein bishul acha bishul. Your second bishul is not a bishul. So whereas the Rashba would argue that even in the case of Michael ben Josoy, it's not chayav on Shabbos, meaning the second bishul, because the second bishul is on something that's already what? It's already mevushal al pidin. The Rambam would say, no, the second Bishul is a Bishul, even though it's already Mevushal. That doesn't bother the Rambam. What bothers the Rambam, and here he distinguishes between Kemaitim and Josoy and Kol Tzorko, is where's the Melechas Tikkun here to be Mechayev you and Shabbos? V'nireh, just one more minute, Nafkamina, and then we'll take questions, but I just want you to see the next paragraph. V'nireh Nafkamina was there, b'din Bishul achad Bishul b'basa b'cholav. Who can figure this out without reading it? Unless you already read it. Excellent. The Rambam is going to say that Bishul Achad Bishul in Basar B'Cholav is Chayav. Why? Because there's no additional condition of Tikkun. In Shabbos, where there's a Bezundara, you know, a separate halacha of Tikkun, otherwise it's not called a Malacha, so you'll be Potter. So there's no Tikkun in the case of this Bashal called Tzarko, because the second Bishul doesn't add any upgrade of Tikkun. That's already halacha. That is restricted to Hilchos Shabbos and a separate requirement for Melechos Shabbos. In Kol HaTorah Kulo, on the other hand, the Rambam is going to maintain the Yesh Bishul Achad Bishul. The Rashba Lishitoso holds that Ein Bishul Achad Bishul is Halach and Bishul. It's not Halach in Shabbos, it's not Halach in Tikkun and Melechos Tikkun. Haraya, it applies even if there's a very substantial Tikkun, because the first Bishul only reached Kemaychel Ben Josai. But on the other hand, according to the sheet of the Rashba, if the first Bishul already achieved Kemaychel Ben Josai, then you have a Tavshil that's already Mavushal, and then we're going to apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achad Bishul. You can't do a second Bishul on something that's already Mavushal. And that's going to apply equally to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Basar B'Cholav. There's no difference between the two.
But even if it's a Tikkun,
speaking of Jocelyn,
in the Rashba, even if it's a Tikkun, it's still not called Bishul. It's what's it called? Like, what is the act? Even though, I understand. Like, once it reaches that, once you've done Bishul,
you've done an action which we can look at on the chitzonis. You know, it's an action that looks like Bishul, but it's not Bishul according to the halacha, because al pi din, the Rashba understands that once it's already mevushal, how can you do a Bishul on something that's already mevushal?
In Hilchos Shabbos, I remember we had a lot of trouble because the definition was kind of tikkun ledeyahu. Like that Bishul. Tikkun ledeyahu. And it took, and then what exactly is a tikkun? Because even they were talking about the metal that becomes soft. So
that might come on the market of Patish. I'm not sure.
But over there, there was a whole discussion, would it be Bishul?
So again, we never know exactly how much of a fundamental advancement or benefit you have in order to be a tikkun. In this case, the Rambam says that the difference between Kemaychel Ben Josai and Kol Tzorko is such a radical difference that it constitutes a tikkun, and it makes you chayav for Bishul. But again, you're only chayav for Bishul if you started with a Bishul. The Rambam is assuming you started with a Bishul, so that condition was fulfilled. And the Rambam would say that condition would be fulfilled even in the case of where it was called Tzorko, that the second Bishul is a Bishul. In fact, I'd be tempted to think that according to the Rambam, if the Rabbanon would now prohibit you from a second Bishul, even in the case of Kol Tzorko, the Rambam would say that that's a serious Rabbanon. You remember we discussed 2 weeks ago the different categories of the Rabbanon. You know, sometimes it's a gzera, sometimes it's domel malacha, and it's upgraded to a status midrabbanon of a malacha. This, I think, according to the Rambam, would be a malacha. According to the Rashba, I would be tempted to think that any Bishul in the second round would only be a Gzera Derabbanan, but there's no possibility of calling it Bishul, because the Rashba's basic principle is that once it's Mavushal, it's already Mavushal. So this is a fascinating interconnection, if you will, between the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Basar B'Cholav. And you know, we see a machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam. That might be, in fact, a machlokas between Rav and Levi on Daf Kuf Chesam and Beis. Meaning, Rav holds Ein Bishul Achad Bishul Kod Rabbeinu Gershon, and the reason is because you can't have a second Bishul on something that's already Mavushal. On the other hand, Levi accepts Bishul Achad Bishul. Why? Because he holds there is a Bishul. Could be in Shabbos, you'd be potter because of Melechus Machshavos. That has no impact on Basar B'Cholav. And by the way, if we had more time, we would go through this entire essay, because there are other laws of Bishul that apply in the Torah, like, for example, Nisa Lav of Bishul of Karban Pesach, and there are many other dinim of Bishul. We'd always have to see in each case, is there a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba about Ein Bishul Achad Bishul. Now, what I'd like to take a look at as a hemsheikh, if I can just put this down for a minute, you know what, I'll hold on to it, is let's take a look. Oh no, that's the wrong Rambam. Let's take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, which I have here somewhere. Oh, here it is. I want to open up to the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha. I'm sorry, Perek Tes Halacha Beis, Hilchos Macholos Asuros. Now, let me give you a little bit of an introduction to this Rambam. What we're saying here is the following. We argue that in Basa B'Cholov, the Rambam would definitely prohibit the second Bishul, because the Rambam holds fundamentally Yesh Bishul Acher Bishul. There is a Bishul on top of something that's Mevushal. And there's a separate Halach and Shabbos that we need Tikkun. And if he's already cooked something that's totally cooked, he doesn't add anything, that's a Shabbos halacha. But fundamentally, yesh bishul achar bishul. So that would mean that the Rambam should be identified with Levi, the way we said in Rabbeinu Gesh. So the Rambam should be identified with the Ramban, the name of the Yesh Omrim, in Pesayim number 4. But is there another possibility? What do I mean? The Moreshes Moshe says that even if you hold ein bishul achar bishul, so for example, you cook the meat separately, you cook the milk separately, now you cook it a second time around, says the Moreshes Moshe, yesh lechalek, according to this whole school of Achronim here on the bottom right, between the following two scenarios: you cook them separately or you cook them already together. And according to this shita, again, which is represented by such a large group of achronim, despite the fact that you cooked each one separately, when you cooked them together for the first time, yesh bishul achar bishul, and he bichayah. So I'm thinking to myself the following: could it be that the Rambam would say the following? Ein achinam, if you already cooked basa b'cholov together on one round, and the Rambam holds yesh bishul achar bishul, in this case, the Rambam would agree that ain't bishul achar bishul. Because just like in Shabbos, there's a halach of tikkun, meaning you're only chayav for meleches bishul if there was an element of tikkun, and if the first bishul accomplished its goal, then you're not chayav in Shabbos because it's not meleches machsheves. Could there be a slightly similar, I don't mean to compare them, but a slightly parallel halacha in Bishul Basa B'Cholov, that you're only chayav for Basa B'Cholov if through this Bishul you create something which is Basa B'Cholov? In other words, if you've already got Basa B'Cholov, and now you cook it a second time around, Nehi, I have to grant you that if you cook it a second time, the Rambam would hold that that is Bishul. But is it possible that we have to add another condition to violate the law of Lo Sevashel Gedi? It's not enough that I do a Maisa Bishul. I have to do a Bishul that accomplishes something. We'll call it a Chshivas in the Bishul. It's a tikkun in the bishul, again in a negative kind of sense. And what do I accomplish through that bishul? What do I add to the universe that didn't exist before? I create a heft of basa b'chol that didn't exist before. So when the time of the basa goes into the chol of advice of person for the first time around, then I'm chayv for meleches bishul. So I'm saying the following. That although Rav Soloveitchik in this article Harei Kedem assumes that according to the Rambam, yesh bishul achar bishul in basa b'chol, because you have a ma'aseh bishul even on something that's mevushal. But my question is, what would the Rambam say if it's already basa b'chol? Perhaps ad kan, maybe I can accept that there is bishul achar bishul if you already cooked both of them separately. Correct? So then you could say vis-a-vis the basa, vis-a-vis the chol, you could say yesh bishul achar bishul. But nevertheless, in such a case, I would ask you the following question: are you creating something that didn't exist before? And here we could be mechalik between two cases. One case is where each one was cooked separately. The other case is where each one, it was already cooked together. And you have basar mechal. Is everybody following me? No, did I go too fast, too slow?
But even if you're adding an additional milk taste, you have a chefsa basar mechalav, and now you put more milk in. Even like, and you put more milk in on that basar mechalav and you cook them.
Right, so it could
now
be,
it's a more milky taste.
Right, could be that you're higher for that additional milk. But what I'm suggesting is, in a simple case, where you take basar mechalav and you recook it, the Rama might agree that although there is a maisa bishul, you're not chayef for bishul. Because the Rama might add another condition over here, that you're only chayef for bishul if you accomplish a very serious goal, namely you've created basar mechalav. Here you have basar mechalav. And basically what we're touching on here, Rabosai, is the relationship between the isa bishul and the isra achila. Now let me ask you a funny question, as if you were fourth graders. How many times does the Torah say you're not allowed to eat basar mechalav? Zero, right? No, it doesn't, right? Anyone who said three fell into my trap. So maybe I shouldn't have said fourth graders. Okay, fine.
Insulting fourth graders also.
What I meant to say was the Torah repeats itself three times and says Lo Savasha. The Torah never once says Achila. So who's bothered by this question? You won't believe it. The Rambam is bothered by this question. So if you open up to the Rambam, Perek Tes Milchus Macholas Asuros. After the Rambam establishes three different Isurim in Halacha Aleph, he asks the question, he doesn't really ask it, he just answers it in Halacha Beis. Lo shasak hakosuv milesar achila. The Torah never says a word about achila. And how could that be? Ella, and here the Rambam introduces a kal v'chomer, Ella mipnei sha'asar abishol. The Torah prohibited bishol. Klomar, afilu bishul. You see where the Rambam makes a kal v'chomer here. When the Torah says you're not allowed to be mavasha, what the Torah means you're not even allowed to cook it together. The ein tzarech lomar says the Rambam achilasa. Now again, this is going to enter into issues here where the Rambam compares it to ein onshin melakeh masirin or ein onshin min adin. You know, we're going to leave that out for today. That's the end of this Rambam here about bas and basabas. But suffice it to say that if I were to ask you the following, does the Rambam establish a relationship between the Isa Bishul and the Isa Achila? He certainly does, because again, the Rambam holds that inherent in the Isa Bishul is the Isa Achila. The Torah didn't even have to spell out lo sochal basar mechalav. Because if the Torah says Bishul, it means not only are you not allowed to eat basar mechalav, you're not allowed to be mevashal basar mechalav. And this tempts me, again, I'm not sure if you'll agree with me, to accept the shita of the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah at the beginning of Tumas Mes has a whole cadre of Isurim, which the Torah asked as a Gzera D'Oraisa. Right, we always talk about Gzera D'Rabbanan, Asum Siog LaTorah. The Kesef Mishnah, based on Opus D'Rabbanosan, has a new concept called Gzera D'Oraisa, where the Torah prohibits X because it'll lead to Y. And the Kesef Mishnah gives us one of his examples, the Isa Bishul, Basar Mechalav. Because if we allow you to cook Basar Mechalav, then you might come to eat Basar Mechalav. So you see clearly that the Kesef Mishnah understood, again, it's a little bit philosophical, the Kesef Mishnah, but Al Pi Lamedus, what he means is that there's a relationship between Bishul and Achila. Mm-hmm. As if to say Bishul is a Hachon, it's the prologue or the preliminary stage that culminates in Achila. Hence, if the Torah asks Bishul, it's only because the Bishul might ultimately lead you to Achila. Again, that's timing the crop. I'm not going into that philosophical question.
You need a tikkun, a significant tikkun to prepare for Achila.
Excellent. This, I think, would reflect on our approach in a very strong way. If you accept the Kesef Mishnah, I'm going to try to put this into this Rambam here in Perek Tes. What we're saying is that the Isur Bishul is a preliminary stage to the Isur Achila, to such an extent that he calls it Gzera. Now, I don't know if I want to call it Gzera D'Oraisa, but I certainly want to see from the Kesef Mishnah that he understood that there was a relationship between the Isur Bishul and the Isur Achila. Now, David, you mentioned Rav Herschel Schechter, did you not? So I want to mention also Rav Herschel Schechter. Rav Herschel Schechter said that he once heard from Rav Soloveitchik in a discussion that he had with his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that Rav Moshe was asked the following question. would you violate bishul basar b'chalav if you had no intention of eating it? For example, they were doing a scientific experiment. And Rav Moshe wanted to quote this Rambam. That Rav Shechter brings it down in a book called Nefesh HaRav. I should have photocopied that for you. And anyway, so this is the dialogue between Rav Moshe and his son. And Rav Moshe says, take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam derives the Isra Achil in Basar B'chalav from a Kal V'chomer from Bishul. You see that the Rambam is clearly connecting the two, and that Achil is really the ultimate of Bishul. It's even more chomer than Bishul. And if the Torah prohibited Bishul, how much more so? It's prohibiting Achil. It means that the Bishul is the Torah Achil. The whole reason why the Torah asks Bishul is because inherent in the Bishul is Achil. And
that if the Torah... After the fat under the Goyish fat, you're not intended to eat that.
What do you mean? Right, because the time of the bus and the time of the chol goes into the tafshil, and you're going to eat the tafshil.
You're going to eat the tafshil?
I think so. Oh, you want to know about a class of a cooking class?
Excellent. You're not allowed to be mechato.
No, but that's not the Rambam. I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about the. I'm sorry, let me start again. The Rambam, the name of the Yesh Omrim, is talking about somebody who's cooking in a Goyish Shabbat. He's cooking for himself.
He's going to eat the stuff.
He's going to eat the stuff.
Even just a stoke.
The Yechata would be a case of a chef where you're learning how to cook, so you know they tell you to start, but he has no intention to eat it.
It's a chuva. It sounds like it's not that you have a shift or something that happens.
I
just want you to listen to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is saying the following, that Ken Zion, Rav Moshe wasn't sure about, but Ken Zion, Rav Moshe said, that if you're cooking and you have no intention to eat what you're cooking, you're not over basar b'chalav, bishul basar b'chalav d'oraisa.
That's good.
Yeah, right. But that's right. No cook on the gzeirah.
You mean like how to eat?
Time of the cry. Very good point. Like he's saying.
Correct. I understand all the problems here, but I'm just trying to point out that how far do you go with this? Meaning, is it possible that all the cases in which we prohibit bishul basar b'chalav when you're not interested in eating it, they all come under a drabanan? Then midoraisa would not be chayav, because if we define bishul as a hachana for achila, then perhaps we could say that if he's not interested in a hachana for achila, that would not, at least on a doraisa. Right, many times the Torah has what's called kavanah l'shem. Do you follow me by kavanah l'shem? Like, for example, if let's say, as a joke, I hit you, would that be a violation of Pen Yosef?
Right.
The answer is, the Rambam adds, derech bizayon. His kavanah was to hit him out of anger. Or, let's say, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, there are millions of cases where if you don't have a certain kavanah l'shem X, you're not chayav. And the Torah allows you to do that on the d'oraisa level. So we see very often that kavana is a tnai in a doraisa. It could be, that's what Rav Moshe I think was saying, you'll take a look at the Nefesh HaRav, if you press me on it, I'll bring it in for you, I have it at home. That in the case of bishul basar b'chalav, there's a tnai of kavana. And the tnai of kavana is that he intends to eat this bishul. Again, you don't have to accept this, but I'm just using it with saber at the ozen, and you can see how far in the mind of one of the Gedolei Torah, how far is this connection between bishul and achil. So wait a minute, let me just swing back to my main point, because I got off on a tangent. My main point is that I'm suggesting that even if I grant you that according to the Rambam, there is bishul achar bishul, it could be that the rabbi would say that bishul achar bishul, in a case where there was already a cheftz of basar b'chalav, because in the first round you already cooked meat and milk together, that you would be potter for the second bishul, for the reason that bishul is only osur because it creates something. But if already it was osur b'achil before, I could not classify and define the second bishul as a hachana for achila. I don't need the second bishul as a hachana for the Yisra achila. The Yisra achila is chal by virtue of the first bishul, because you already cooked basar and chalav together.
So the question is, in the Rambam, is like, is it the fact that there's a further hachana, there's a further tikkun, is it a further hachana of, like, the further hachana of bishul? Because so there,
I don't think so. Again, I don't think so, because
it's already there, but it could still further. The further cooking is further.
I don't know. I don't agree with you on that. But anyway, we'll argue about this later. Uh-huh. But here's the point that I wanted to make with you. Let's take a look at the Rambam here in the same perek, Perek Tes, Halacha Vav. Okay then? The Rambam asks the following question. What happens if he takes chalev, or he takes nevela, and he cooks it with challah? Would he violate the Isur Bishul? And would he violate the Isur Achila and the Isur Anah for that matter if he eats this concoction? So what does he have? He's got chalev, he's got nevela, mesa he calls it, and then he cooks it with challah. Says the Rambam, potter. Why is he potter? He did a ma'isa bishul. So the Rambam says, because, I'm sorry, let me start again. The Rambam says that if he's mevashel nevela or chalev with chalav, then says the Rambam, he's lokal bishulo, the eno lokal achilosa. Why? He says, with regard to Isur, what principle are we going to apply? Isur chalal Isur. It was already osur v'toras chalev v'toras nevela. As far as Bishul is concerned, there was never an Isur Bishul to begin with, so he's chayv malchus for his Bishul. Now the Rambam says something that's a pella. The Rambam says, She'ein Isur Bosu v'cholav chalal Isur nevela al Isur chalev. She'ein kan lo Isur kolel, v'lo Isur mosif, v'lo Isur bevasachas. The Rambam quotes the three exceptions to the rule. And here in these three any of these three cases, we apply the principle of Yesh Yisur Chalal Yisur, the Yisur Chalal Yisur. What are the three examples? One is B'Vasachas. So here, clearly, it's not B'Vasachas. The Yisur Chalal predated the Yisur Basim Chalal. And then he writes, V'lo Yisur Mosif. In other words, he's not expanding to new Cheftas. In other words, he starts with one Cheftas in the Vela, one piece of the Vela, and he ends with that piece in the Vela. But then the Rambam writes, V'lo Yisur Kolel. Rabosai, is Basa B'cholav and Isur Kolel vis-a-vis Chalev or Nevela? And what's the answer? For sure it's an Isur Kolel. What does the Isur Basa B'cholav add that didn't exist before? Hana. And I'll prove to you that Hana is an Isur Mosif. If we just fast forward... Well, Bishul, I'm leaving out Bishul for a minute, but let's just talk about Hanah, correct? Because again, Sam, you know, the Bishuls are more complicated because you're starting with Basar and Cholav separately. I'm talking about looking at the Chalev, looking at the Nevela, and now you're cooking it. Did you add a new Isur by virtue of the cooking it? And the Rambam says no, because it was also Bachila anyway. But what about the Isur Hanah? So you'll tell me maybe Isur Hanah is flimsy, you know, it's ephemeral, it's not real, it's not something that you could sink your teeth in. So let's take a look at the last Rambam in Perek Yudal Milchus Macholos Asuras. And the Rambam addresses the following case. Are you listening? You have to listen to this. This is unbelievable. The Rambam wants to know what happens if you are Magdish Abahema and then you benefit from its chalev. Now watch what goes on here. Chalev of behemoth, osur b'achilav but mutar b'anah. Chalev of kodshim, or any part of the animal, for that matter, is osur im b'anah. Says the Rambam, in such a case, hikdisha, v'nesar achelba b'anah, is mitosh nosif bo isur, nosaf bo isur hanoya, nosaf bo isur kodshim. Meaning the Isur Kodshim is a separate avera, a separate lav in the Torah that enjoins you from Hanah, is going to be added on to the Chalev, because before the Chalev it was only Asa Bachila. Once you made it into Kodshim, it was Asa, it became Asa not only Bachila, but even what? Hanah, says the Rambam, Kevon Shenot Nisvasif Bar Isur Hanah is Isur Chalal Isur. I prove to you clearly that the Rambam holds that an Iser Mosif means if you add an Iser Hanah to an Iser Achila. And if that be the case, if a man takes the Velo Achilim and he cooks it with milk, he clearly adds an Iser Hanah. And the Rambam says at the beginning of this parak test that the reason why Yechai Malkus for all these three Yisurim is because the Torah repeats itself three times. Also, Vashel Gedi, Echad Yisur Bishel, Echad Yisur Achil, Echad Yisur Anah.
It's hard enough for the Rambam to be there one. I mean, you don't get Malkus out of it.
I don't think so. I mean, it could be as a Torah Malkus, but I don't think that Yisur Anah Bas B'chol is only Torah one. Is anybody who says that?
Yeah, they're from the
Shach. Oh my gosh. Who says it?
The Shach says it.
The Shach says it? You'll have to show me the Shach inside. Because at this point I would deny there is such a Shach. It can't be. It can't be.
I mean, you notice that the Rambam pulls from the...
I mean, I've been around the block for a while.
That's fine. You notice the Rambam pulls from the Vayikra Rabbah. He doesn't put the Gemara in Kulam. It's a very strange lingua. Right? His Kavah Chomer doesn't expand to Hanah. How does the Rambam know that it's Asar Hanah? The only way you know that it's Asar Hanah is because of this Kavah Chomer that you make.
Good. So Rabosai, let's just repeat the question here. There seems to be a stira in the Rambam, because the Rambam here in Perek Tes Halacha Sof Halacha Vav says that an Iser Hanah is not an Iser Mosif. Again, if you want to go with the Shach, maybe the Shach holds it according to the Rambam. The Iser Hanah is the Rabbana. I find that very difficult. But be that as it may, I'm not here to argue with the Shach. I'm sure that, you know, anybody who has half a brain in his head would say that the Iser Hanah Bas B'chol is Doraisa, and that's why the Torah repeats itself three times. I don't know what the Shach is going to do with the third pasuk. Let's face it. There is no such Shach, I'm telling you. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, Yonatan says it's a Shach, so I'm not going to... All right, get the Shach. You remind me of a story once. I don't know if anyone here heard of Rabbi Yossi Blau. He's the Mashgiach at Yeshiva University. So he tells the story that the Rav said that the Rabban holds that Kriyas HaTorah Zechovas Tzibur against Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim held that Kriyas HaTorah Zechovas Yochin. Reb Chaim would get out of the train and he's traveling from Brisk to Bialystok. He would get out halfway in the middle of the train because he had to catch Kriyas HaTorah. He held Zechovas Yochin. And then Reb Soloveitchik would say, you know, with all due respect to Reb Chaim, that's his grandfather, but nevertheless, the Ramban holds that Kriyas HaTorah Zechovas Tzibur. And then the Rav would say, but we don't know where the Ramban is. So Yossi Blau found the Ramban. So the next time the Rav said it, because he would say this all very often, so Yossi opened up the Ramban and he puts it on the table and he starts pointing to it. He couldn't say anything because he was so nervous in front of the Ramban. But he pointed. So the Rav closed the Gemara and he said, we don't know where the Ramban is. See, that's part of the Mesorah. You know, we don't know where the Ramban is. But we do know where the Ramban is. Anyway, the Ramban is in Megillah Daf Gimel. It's off the page in the Melchamed Sashra. So you'll show me the Shach and I'll tell you, close the Shach. We don't know where the Shach is. But seriously, is it fair to assume that the Iser Hanah is the Oraisa and Bas B'chol? I think if we took a vote, we would have pretty much, leaving the Shach outside for a minute, a unanimous decision that the Iser Hanah is written in the Torah. It's a Lavalo Savashal Gdibachalevimo. And it's an Iser Hanah. That should be a classic case of an Iser Mosif, because Nevela and Chela, it's not also.
Why is it
the
Vayikra Rabbah? That's such a strange thing. Why is it the Vayikra Rabbah when he says you don't get Malkus?
Right, you don't get Malkus. There are a lot of Isurim which are Doraisa, but you don't get Malkus.
That's true, but why is it Mechadish? If it's all the same Iser, then why are you not getting Malkus and I don't know? That's
correct.
The base. Why is it from the Vayikra Rabbah?
So that's what I want to talk to you about, but we're running out of time. So let me just say this, that Beli Neder, if you remind me, in the next shiur, we'll talk about the famous Nechuda Niflah of the Rambam. Are you familiar with that? The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos increases. And we're going to see, based on the Nechuda Niflah, why you don't get Malkus for the Iser Hanah. Not to say that the Iser Hanah is the Rabbanan Chas V'Shalom. Okay. So it's the Shach. Who am I to argue with the Shach? You know what I'm saying? Even if I learned in Panovich, I couldn't argue with Rav Shach. Anyway, so my point only is that we have to understand the Nekuda Nifla in the Rambam, and that is that Hanah is somehow included in the Iser Achil. The exception to that rule is going to be Kodshim. In the case of Kodshim, the Iser Hanah has nothing to do with Iser Achil. It's a separate Iser unto itself, and we'll talk about this in Yirtz Hashem next week. Okay, are there any questions or comments? If not, we'll end here, and I wish you great
evening.
That's an old Yehuda. He's a big guy.
So he says here that the Rambam is clear that it is an Isser Mosif, right? And even though the person seems to argue.
Oh, he quotes the Rambam later on in Perek Yudalev.
He says even though the person puts out seems to say that seems to argue. We still can be makel that there would be no Malchus for the Hana, right? Yeah. When you have an Isser, like most of the case like this, right? Like a Nevela or Caleb, right? Because the Tosos don't argue with Beferish on the Rambam. And the Rambam Beferish Mishnayos is Beferish Mekel, right? Beferish Mekel on this issue. Because he says that it's linked. It's linked to what? The Isser Achila.
Don't worry.
Exactly what Rabbi was going to say.
That's the flaw. Does he mention the Kumi flaw? He probably does. If he mentions the Rambam,
I saw the
Nikuna before.
Okay, do me a favor, though. Send me an email with this Smar Mokum, because I didn't see that this is
Shiva.
So I don't accept that. Says Al Dino Shal Rambam. How does he summarize the Dino Shal Rambam? It's linked. That's why he's a fair to link. That's why the Rambam wants to make it, because it's clear that he summarizes the Rambam's din as being that. Whenever there's no Isra Fila, there can't be an Isra Fila.
Here's what I wanted to say. I ran out of time. If anybody wants to listen, what I wanted to say is the following. According to the Rambam in Perkes, if you cook Chalev with Chalav or Nevela with Chalav, if you eat it, you're not Chayav Malchus. But you're Chayav Malchus for the Bishop.
Right.
That proves that what we said is wrong. Because we said that the Isra Bishop is only a hachana for the Isra Achila. Here the Rambam says explicitly that you could violate the Isra Bishul without violating the Isra Achila. What we see from here is that they're two Zunder Isurim.
But it's still true that the Gabi Hana. I mean, it's still a Gabi Hana. You would get Malchus for the Bishul, not for the Achila, and therefore not for the Hana.
Correct. That doesn't bother me, but I'm just saying my whole Shia. Half of my shiur revolved around this point, this nekuda, that Bishul is somehow linked to Achila, correct? If Bishul is linked to Achila, it means you can never have a mitzvah where you violate the Isur Bishul, you get Malchus for Bishul, but you don't get Malchus for Achila. Here the Rabbi says, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Is it clear that when you have Basar and Chalav, you have both Basar and Chalav? Maybe after you have Basar and Chalav, it's neither Basar nor Chalav.
It's the Bishul.
Right. In which case,
it's a new entity. I would say, it's a
even if you add chalav to the, is it possible?
You mean the question that Zechariah was asking? What happens if you add extra chalav? So then you're saying what? That there's no. What are you saying? There's no creation.
Maybe you don't do this as basar, and therefore even if they add chalav, even though a tam isser is going to go into the chalav, there's going to be a tam isser and basar and chalav, not a tam isser.
Right. That's what I thought. The tam basar is going to this additional chalav. I thought that would be an isser additional basar. Right. You're saying no. Even that's not, because we're not really taking basar and putting it into the chalav. It's a cut. It's like what do they call it? An androgynous. It's a birya b'feyatzma.
Yeah. Here's one. There's a few, but this the Prima Gadol just puts around and just. What's the pashas of this one? Okay, chen chatichas baser b'chalav v'chulim bazar shein chen asurim b'hamia medivrei. Chen chatichas baser b'chalav v'chulim bazar shein.
Right, he says.
Now
that's
he quotes a Kasher Mishnah that explains.
I never knew there was such an issue that coin. Okay, you have to be a chiddush.
No. And it's also
it's only the Prima Golem, or it's
the Prima Golem doesn't even say this. I'm just showing you the Rambam. He just quoted the Rambam. The Shach says, he just says, or he even quotes the customer says, oh yeah, that's not really good. That's just going
wait,
on.
Wait, you just read to me.
I just read you a Rambam. Now he's going. The Prima Golem doesn't even think what I think. Prima Golem brings the Kesem. Well, I don't know that, but he brings the Kesem and saying, no, that's only Chal and the Chulam. That's the Derabanan. But of course, the Hana and the Basa Machov is Midaraisa. That is a Pasha of the Rambam. Fits with the other Rambam. It fits with the Vayikra. But it's an Arch Mishach as well.
Oh. So you want to do me a favor and open up this Rambam? I have it here on the table. It's right here.
Okay.
Let's just see inside, because maybe that's where you have the you know, the Sefer Mafteach of Frank.
Yes, no, that's why I'm not so smart. I found the Mafteach. Oh. Meaning, no, I saw this Rambam here, and I went to the Rambam and the Mafteach. Right, I said, forget.
I think I told you I wrote on Hilchos Talmud Torah. Yeah. My main source of sources was the Sefer Mafteach. It's amazing. It's a piece of research.
It's a like he had Ruach HaKodesh.
They left out Rav Kook, and but no way.
But they also left Grax.
That's
also
true.
Grax out.
But in one place, I think they quote.
I've never seen quote Brisker Rav ever, which is very strange.
Who
the Mafteach?
No, that's not true.
Brisker, maybe
left, right, and center.
Yeah,
left, right.
So then I'm not remembering.
But wait a minute, what are you showing me here?
So Yud Vav. That's going to be what?
Yud Vav would be. Test Zion.
Test Zion.
No, Yud and above is what? Is 10 and 6. 10 and 6 is 16. Oh, no. Am I right? So it's Test Zion, I think.
No.
Believe me, I'm not good at math.
No, go ahead and do that. I'm sorry.
So what do we do with the third pasuk? I don't
care.
Does anybody ask my question? What do we do with the third pasuk?
There's a lot of drushes in Chulam that you learn.
Let's look this up in the Mafteach, right? And what are the Nosei Kelim pointed
out? Well, the Mafteach that I pulled in the Rambam and Perek Tes.
Wait, this is Macholas Asuris. Just give me a second. Put the Rambam
here. I'm sure you'll have a bunch more.
Perek Pizan. Halacha, what did we say it was? Halacha. What was it? Halacha Vav. It's on this side of the page. Oh, that. This is. These are the Maran Kalmish that you want to look at. He says, "Ikoi rak achulim bazar o gama bosu b'chol." That these are the Maran Kalmish you want to look at.
Right. Exactly. Right there. Mishach. Right there. Right.
Yeah, but the Orach Mishach, I'm not sure. I don't think that's the Shach himself. It is?
Yeah.
I have one at home. I'll look it up.
He refers to God in the Shach, he says. Go look
at Yeah. Oh, you're right. But again, he doesn't tell you which position the Shach accepts. But you're saying...
I think I
have an Orach Mishach at home. If you, the Diri Emes. Diri Emes was a Turk.
He was a Turk?
Yeah. The Rav used to say that there were three Turks that wore turbans that were big lamdanim. I mean, three Gedol Yisrael that wore he didn't mention the Steich Hamen.
Oh, really?
He mentioned the Mishnah Melech,
yeah.
The Mach Nefrayim, and the Dibre Emes. Those are the three he mentioned. But there were more, you can trust me. Anyway, he says Dibre Emes Lavim, Dibre Yosef.
So
I know a contemporary.
So the Rav Mishach says no, and the Minchas Aaron says yes. The Rav Mishach says much because of a Rambam, then Rav Hadir Shabbos to Mechal, the Shulchan to Shulchan to Mechal, the Harim Minas, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Kamoshi, the Rambam, the Kulei, the Rambam, the Bus of Mechal, the Rambam, 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 the Rambam,
But who's the one who says it's the Rabbanon? Maybe it's the Dibrei Emes. Can we get a hold of the Dibrei Emes? I don't know if I have a Divyamis. Maybe I do. I think I do have a Divyamis, actually. Go find it, but my swarm are all like spread out. So. Yeah, go ahead. But it seems that
there's more to go. But yeah, no. From the Arab right. Shechem and Hassan on that.
Yeah, they're saying it's Doraisa.
Right.
But it must be someone who says Drabon. Who is that? I don't know. Maybe the
Divyamis. There is someone.
No, we haven't found anyone yet. But in the Sefer Mateach, on this Rambam, he quotes a whole bunch of people who say that the Rambam is only talking about Chulam Bazar's Drabonah. And Agav Shitvei, the Rambam mentions also Bas B'chol, but Bas B'chol is Doraisa. And then the Rambam very often used the word Midivreyem to mean a Doraisa that's not Mefurish B'kra, that's derived from a Kalachom, and that's the Kesef Mishnah. So we haven't found anyone yet who says that the Isur Adnah in Bas B'chol is the Rabbanan according. Maybe there is such a thing. The only last source here in the Sefer Avtech who might be a candidate for that is the Divrei Emes, which I think I have at home.
Especially if you say it's like suffering, it's not so mefurish. It really is a drash.
Correct. You could have many things that are doraisa. The Rambam holds that kedushay kesef is midirei sofer, right? Now, how can you have a man's baal eish see she's chayv misa for kedushay kesef? So the kesef mishnah says the Rambam used the word midirei sofer whenever it's not mefurish b'kra, and there are various nafkaminas. One of them is whether you get malchus. So not in the case of a lav, that's not mefurish b'kra.
Right. You could say that.
But so far, I'm still maintaining my initial position that I have no doubt that the Yisra'at knows Doraisa. And the Rambam derives from three psukim in the Torah.
There is this Rambam. Why you're not lokal on the Hana is because it's not Mefurish.
Correct. And there's no doubt about it. To say that the Rambam means that it's the Rabbanah. Yeah, if we allow you to have Hanor from Bas B'chol, you'll come to eat it or something. I don't think so. All right, that's very interesting. Yonatan got all the hits to them, but I'm going to see that maybe if I get a chance to look at the Divrei Emes. Okay, call two. Yeah.